produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
Well, praise the Lord, beloveds. I'm so pleased and privileged once again to just be sharing a word which is going to, I pray and trust, just provoke us and encourage us in these still challenging times when many of us are still in nations that are experiencing and undergoing lockdown. Some nations are experiencing a second wave, what is being described as a second wave. My prayer for you as a nation is that you will not experience that second wave, and that if you are already in that second wave, that the Lord will be gracious to you and bring healing to your nation and to the inhabitants of your nation. And so today I want to speak, about on Isaiah 61, verse 3. And it's a scripture that many of us are familiar with. It's a scripture that talks about beauty for ashes and how God will exchange our ashes with beauty. And I'm going to start off just by reading that scripture. And it says as follows. It says, Isaiah 61:3, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. And I think this is a very appropriate scripture for this time. In the time of lockdown, we've had some challenges. Some of them are financially related. Some of us have lost, loved ones. Hence the scripture to console those who mourn in Zion, myself included. I lost my beautiful mom, who I just loved so, so much. But the Bible tells us that we don't mourn as those who have no hope, but we mourn as those with hope. And our hope, of course, is in Christ, who himself is the hope of glory. So this is, I think, an appropriate scripture for some of us who've lost loved ones, and some of us who've been in a time of heaviness, being locked down, not being able to go out, having to wear masks and all these restrictions of social distancing, not able to hug one another. They can be a way of setting a foundation for that heaviness, that spirit of heaviness. But, God says that he can exchange. He can exchange our ashes, those ashes that we have, and bring us beauty. And so I want to look at some of those ashes, and I want to focus on the aspect of ashes. And, in the scripture, it says that God can give us beauty for ashes. So there's an exchange that's happening. And the first thing I want to say, because I'm going to be focusing on ashes, and, our teaching is going to be focused on ashes. First thing I want to say about ashes is that ashes symbolize suffering. Whenever we see the term ashes in the Bible, we know that where ashes were talked about, oftentimes in the Bible, prophets and people and kings even who were in mourning would wear sackcloth and ashes. So ashes, whenever you see that word in terminology, it symbolizes suffering. There's a suffering that happens. And the first thing I want to talk about in this teaching is that there are suffering ashes. One aspect of ashes is it symbolizes suffering. And, I want to encourage us that some of us are going through different suffering. There are lockdown ashes and lockdown suffering, suffering that's related to the lockdown. But, the Bible says that God will still give us beauty in exchange for that suffering. And even in this time of lockdown, there are so many positives that I've been able to see just in this time of COVID-19 and lockdown. That, for instance, I live in this neighborhood where we don't know one another. We don't greet one another. We just pass one another. But what I've seen personally in this time of lockdown is that that all of a sudden in this community we're in, we're now greeting one another. We're now looking at each other. We're now taking time to notice one another. We go for walks out in our community, and people are more relational. They greet one another. There's not that hostility. So there has been a beauty that has come out of these ashes of suffering that have come as a result of being isolated and socially distanced. Now, people are appreciate it when they see other people. They appreciate, you know, the smiles and the greeting and the exchange and the interpersonal changes. So there is a beauty that has come out of these lockdown ashes. There's a beauty that has come out of these lockdown sufferings. And even with families. Families that never spent time together, you know, families are now able to spend time in the home together, socializing together, playing games together, getting to know one another again because they've been locked down together, and people are helping one another. Through this lockdown, you know, God has been able to raise our level of helping and giving to another level, going to townships like Mamelodi to help others, to help them to feed and to give food and to distribute needed clothing and stuff like that. So there is a beauty that has come out of suffering, and God often does that. And so we need to be open to that. Let's not just focus on the ashes, on you know, the difficulties, on the problems, the trials and tribulations that we are going through. God talks about trials and tribulations in the Bible, and he says that those trials and tribulations are to perfect us, are to perfect our character, are to strengthen our faith. So all those ashes of suffering that we experience ultimately help us in terms of building our character and strengthening our faith. And so, you know, in the case of Esther, who was suffered as an orphan, you know, but God was able to use her sufferings, her experiences, her tribulations as an orphan and turn her into a queen. So when ashes are being turned into beauty, they can take orphanhood and turn it and make it into queenhood. And I mean, don't you think that Esther, having been an orphan, actually made her more open, more vulnerable to now helping the Jews, recognizing the plight of her own people, the Jews? And perhaps if she hadn't gone and experienced those ashes of orphanhood, those ashes of being an orphan, perhaps it's possible that she might not have been as you know, sympathetic to the plight and the suffering of others. So suffering will make us more sympathetic to the sufferings of others. And that's how God draws beauty out of our sufferings, that we now become open to helping others in their times and in their moments of suffering. So God is able to do that. He will take orphanhood and make it into queenhood. That's how he brings beauty out of ashes. He will take your war experiences in the bush. David had so many war experiences. He fought lions. He fought bears in the bush. And God is able to turn that into beautiful victories. Would David, King David, have won so many battles out there if he had not battled, if he had not gone through that suffering, those ashes of suffering in the wilderness, having to battle lions and bears single-handedly? Would he have been able to now experience the beauty of those victories, those war victories, those battle victories? Would he even have survived in the wilderness if not for those early battles? Would he have survived Saul's attack on his life if not for those ashes of suffering, those ashes of being hunted and wanting to be killed? Those are all ashes that God used to bring beauty out. And, you know, another case study, if we have to look at the case study of Joseph, it's another person, individual in the Bible who we can look at and see that he had many ashes of sufferings. So ashes, like we say, they represent sufferings. And Joseph went through so many sufferings. He went through the pit. He had pit ashes. He had pit ashes in his life, but through those pit ashes, he learned dependence on God, because in the pit, he was there by himself. He had nobody to depend on. You know, Joseph was the second last born of his brothers. Only Benjamin was younger than him. And this is somebody who would have relied on his big brothers for strength. But in the pit, when you are now in that pit and experiencing the pit ashes, you learn only to rely on God. God, to depend on God, because you know man can always disappoint, but when you are in those suffering ashes, those pit ashes, that is where you learn to put and trust in God. The Bible tells us that some trust in horses and others in chariots, but as for me, I will put my trust in the Lord. And when you are in the pit, in those pit ashes, that's where you learn to look unto Jesus, Yeshua HaMashiach, the author and finisher of our faith. And you know, he didn't only go through pit ashes, we're still talking about Joseph, but he went through false accusation ashes. After he came out of the pit and was delivered from those pit ashes, he still experienced another set of ashes in Potiphar's house, working as a worker, as a slave in Potiphar's house. He now was falsely accused of molestation by Potiphar's wife, who was actually the one trying to molest him and trying to tempt him sexually. He now experienced false accusation ashes. But do you know, in Potiphar's house is where he learned the beauty of the palace protocols, because he was serving Potiphar, who was a high-ranking officer in the palace. And that's where he learned all the beauty of the protocols, the Egyptian protocols of what to wear, how to dress, how to talk. So there was a beauty that came out of those false accusations, out of that place of false accusation. There was a beauty that also emerged. And of course, after that, it wasn't the end of his suffering ashes story. He went to experience more ashes, prison ashes. And it was in prison that he met his palace destiny helper. You know, the Bible tells us that's there where he met the baker, and he met the butler also, the chief butler and the chief baker, who were both serving in the palace. And that was how he exited the prison to go and end up in the beauty of the palace. And so all these examples are simply telling us that we may go through sufferings, we may go through trials, we may go through challenges, we may go through tribulations. Those are all ashes that have to do with sufferings. But at the end of the day, God is able to draw beauty out of them and use those sufferings to ensure that we are now brought into a place of beauty, into that palace. Esther was put into that palace. She went from orphan into a palace. Joseph also ended up in the palace. He went from a pit and Potiphar's house and, of course, prison, and also ended up in the palace. So you can go through these sufferings, these experiences, these stages, and then God will put you in the palace, a palace where he expects you now to bring leadership, to use those experiences, not to embitter you, but to empower you, not to embitter you, but to embetter you. In other words, they make you better, not bitter. So they don't embitter you, they embetter you. Hallelujah. So I pray that whatever suffering ashes you may have experienced, you may have gone through, will be used for making you even more beautiful, to transform you into a more beautiful person, more beautiful character, more beautiful strength, more beautiful faith. And not only for yourself, but for the beauty of others, that will translate into testimonies. And through the testimonies that God will bring in your life, that it will bring an overcoming victory in the other people's lives. And the second thing I wanted to say, we've talked about suffering ashes, that also there are ashes also represent and symbolize repentance. So there are repentance ashes. And like I said, according to the ancient Hebrew custom, when one would be dressed in sackcloth and ashes, it was indicative of humility before God. They would wear coarse cloths, sackcloths, which were normally used
used to make sacks, and they would dust oneself with ashes. This was a sign of submission. This was a sign of grief and humiliation. And it was, you know, worn by prophets and also worn by kings. And if you read 1 Kings 20, verses 30 to 31 and 32, you will see an example of that. And also in 2 Kings 19:1, you will see prophets humbling themselves, you know, exhibiting grief through the wearing of sackcloth and dusting themselves with ashes. So ashes also represent repentance, repentance. So when we talk about repentance, ashes, and how can God bring beauty out of repentance, as we bring repentance before Him, God is able to bring beauty out of us. You know, I love the word repent, because repent does not only mean to turn away, because many of us will define it that way, to say to repent means to turn away from wrong, to turn away from sin, to turn away from all those things that will take us out of kingdom protocols and kingdom ways. That is repentance, turning away from all of that. But if you do an etymology and study of the word repentance, the word re, R-E, the prefix re, always means going back to. So return means to go back, you know, go back to that turn, you know. So anytime you see the word re, it means going back to, going back to. And so if you take re and you separate it and pent, the word pent itself means high. It means high place. So for instance, if you are talking about a penthouse, if you live in a penthouse, you live in a high house, an apartment that's high. A penthouse is a flat or an apartment that's at the top of the floor. Those are the penthouses. At the very highest level of the apartment are those houses that are referred to penthouse. So when you put the two words together, repent, it means going back to the high place also. Going back to the high place that you vacated. So when you repent, God put us in a place of dominion. He put us in a place of authority. That was where He put us in. So when we repent, we move out of our sinful nature, out of the sinful place that the world has put us in. And we now go back to the high place of dominion and authority that God originally placed us. That original blueprint means that we have now repented. So when we repent for whatever things that we have to repent, and worldliness is one thing that we need to definitely repent over. Romans 12:2 says we must not conform to the world and the standards of the world and the principles of the world, but we must be renewed by the transforming of our mind, so that we can now perform the acceptable will of God. So one of the things that we really have to repent for, you know, always is worldliness, the standards of the world, how we dress, how we talk, all of those things. We have to make sure that we repent, turn away from those things, so that we can go back to our original high place of having dominion. There's no way that we will take dominion when we're still walking in the way of the world, when we're still talking the things of the world, when we're still behaving like the world and exhibiting worldly culture. We will not be able to actually fully have the beauty that God wants carved out of us. That beauty can only be carved when worldliness and all those things that we align to that are not of God are shaken out of us. So in terms of repentance, ashes, may God bring us to that place where now we repent. And because we repent and we bow in humility before Him, the Bible also says, you know, that as we bow down, as we humble ourselves before God, He is able to exalt us. So beauty is brought out, you know, as we humble ourselves before Him, then it gives God an opportunity to exalt us through that humility. As we humble and bow down to Him, He's able to clean us and sanctify us and bring out that beauty in that's in each and every one of us. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And so we've talked about different ashes, the suffering ashes, and we've talked about the repentance ashes. And now I want to talk about the last aspect of ashes. You know, ashes are also associated with death. And, you know, ashes really, in fact, there's a popular thing that we like to say, a popular saying. We talk about ashes to ashes and dust to dust. It's actually not from the Bible, although we say that a lot in pastors when they're burying people, they say ashes to ashes and dust to dust. What the scripture actually talks about is dust to dust. It doesn't mention in Genesis 3:19, it doesn't refer to ashes, but it speaks of dust to dust. And ashes are also associated with death. And I want to say that there are certain things in our lives that must die for God to be able to bring that beauty out of us, so he can bring beauty out of those ashes. There is a death to carnality, all the things that pertain to flesh, to carnality, that must die in us. We must die also to selfishness. My goodness, I can't think of another season where we've been as selfish a people as in this season. You know, we live in a world of selfies. People are always taking selfies. People are always concerned about their needs, not concerned about anybody's needs. It's always about me, myself, and I. And yet, the scriptures and the word of God actually provoke us to die to selfishness. We cannot become that thing of true beauty when everything is about us, when all of our concerns are just about us. What am I eating? What am I going to wear? How can I get a bigger house? How can I get more clothes, you know, more money? All of that. So we have to die to self. And the Bible and scripture is very clear about dying to self. In 1 John 3:30, it says that he must become greater and greater, and I must become less and less. So for God to become greater, and when God becomes greater in us, that obviously makes us that thing of beauty. We can't be beautiful unless God begins to consume us. We can't be beautiful unless God begins to inhabit us. The beauty that is carved out of us is in God inhabiting us, inhabiting our bodies. Holy Spirit is the temple. Our bodies are temple of the Holy Spirit, inhabiting our praises, inhabiting everything around us. The more God inhabits us, the more beautiful we'll become. But we must become less and less to make room for God and His Spirit to dwell in us. Galatians 2:20-21 also says, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. So the carnality and the selfishness and the flesh that speaks of I matter, I'm the only one, that selfishness there must no longer live, but Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach, is the one who must live in us. So it's death to selfishness and life. The more that there's death to selfishness, the more capacity there is for Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach, to live in us. And again, another scripture that's very good that speaks to death to selfishness is 1 Corinthians 15:31. And it says, I protest by your rejoicing, which I have in Yeshua, our Lord, Christ Jesus, our Lord. And then it says, I die daily. So we're still talking about death, the ashes of death. And we're talking about death in regard to selfishness in particular. This is something, it's not a one-time event. You can't just renounce selfishness one time. It's something that happens every day. We must die daily to selfishness. We must die daily to our self-needs. We must die daily. It's something that must happen every day of our lives, not just a one-time thing or one-time event, but every day. So death, we've talked about death to selfishness. And also there must be death in this season. Let there be death also to wrong relationships. There are wrong relationships that we have entered into that can hinder our destiny, the destiny that God has given us and placed in us. There are people who can come and instead of being destiny helpers, now begin to interfere in our God-ordained destiny. Proverbs 13:20 says, he who walks with wise men will be wise, but the companion of fools will be destroyed. So there must be that death to wrong relations that may hinder or hamper or obstruct our destiny in God, our kingdom destiny, our ordained destiny. So there must be death to that so that we can walk unobstructed. We can be led by His Spirit as per Romans 8:14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God shall be called sons of God. And what is the final outcome when there's, you know, we've talked about these three categories of ashes. We've talked about the category of suffering ashes, that ashes pertain and relate and symbolize suffering, and God can bring beauty out of suffering. We've talked about repentance ashes, that when we repent also, and we repent and we're humble before God, that also it's another occasion that allows God to bring beauty out of that humility, out of that submission, out of that repentance, so that we can go back to that high place. And then the last thing we've talked about is, you know, how ashes also symbolize death, and how we need to make sure that God now is able to bring beauty out, because there's a death that has been put to selfishness, a death to wrong relationships. And now the beauty, the final outcome, as according to Isaiah 61:3, it says that now we can be made into trees of righteousness. You know, I love Psalms 1, because it talks about how we are trees. We must be like trees planted by the rivers of living water. And then it talks about how our leaves should not wither, but that we should be fruitful and productive all the days of our lives. So we are those trees of righteousness, drinking from His word and watered by His Spirit. And the outcome is not only to be trees of righteousness, but that we are planted of the Lord. We are planted of the Lord. Beloved, there are many plantings, but there's only one planting of the Lord. And when you are planted by the Lord, not planted by man or self-planted, when you're planted by the Lord, it carries eternal consequences. It carries legacy, kingdom legacy, and it carries kingdom sustainable. May Yeshua plant us in Him. Plant us in Him for eternal purpose and eternal reason. And lastly, the third thing, we are trees of righteousness. We are planted of the Lord. The third thing is that God is glorified. God is glorified in all of this. So through all our sufferings, through the ashes that, you know, happen in our life, through the ashes of suffering, through the ashes of repentance, through the ashes of death, God is glorified. If we just allow Him to process us in all of that, He is glorified through all of that. And my prayer for you and I is that God will truly be glorified in all our lives, through our testimonies, through our lives, that our character will be built, our faith will be strengthened, and we will become trees of righteousness planted by the Lord, and God will be glorified in all of it. We bless God and we give Him all the glory in the matchless name of Yeshua HaMashiach. Amen.
Produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
Shimakoto Ministries Radio Network. This is once again the voice of Apostle Josh Moyo, bringing you right now on our weekly program, brought to you every Thursday. Our co-producer, Kayla Paget, making it possible to preach the gospel, the word of God, all over the world. Join us right now. I am coming from the book of Romans, chapter 7. Now, I've got favorite books that I read as a preacher of the gospel that become my call. The book of Romans, no doubt about it, is one of those. Chapter 7 of the book of Romans. Gives me a great of comfort, because the writer to the book of Romans is my guy. I love him. I love him the way that he writes. I love the way he articulates. I love the way he presents. But most importantly, I love the way he is so open and honest. His name is Paul. Yeah. Great teacher and a great author. Wrote 3/4 of the New Testament. Here is what he says. Oh, wretched man that I am. Romans 7 and verse 24. Who shall deliver me from this body of sin and death? Paul says, I am miserable because I'm trapped without knowing who is that who will deliver me from this body of sin and death. And I want to use that as my launching pad as we go into understanding what God has said for us today. And what I want to do, I want to start by explaining to you some concepts that are very important. Number one, you have got two natures in you. There's the old nature and there's the new nature. The new nature is the one that you have after Christ has come into your heart as the Lord and your Savior. The old nature of you is the one that has got proclivities and tendencies to love the good, the pleasurable, the sweet, the desirables, and all the nice little things. But the problem, is it is sinful nature. So come along with me right now as we engage into the authority of the Word of God. And I want to start off by saying to you, not only do you have two natures, the old nature and the new nature, but also it's important for you to know that you've got three enemies. You've got the world, you've got the devil, you've got your own flesh. You don't have much of a problem with the devil, because the devil was defeated 2,000 years ago. You don't have much of a problem with the world, because the world around you, it is the system by which it operates. It has got its own values, the value systems of the world, that have nothing much to do with what God has said you to do. The flesh is where the problem is. The flesh is what you carry 24 hours. The flesh will pull you in the opposite direction to that and of that which God has meant for you. So, ladies and gentlemen, let's see now together, who is your greatest enemy? Obviously, if the devil was defeated 2020 years ago and the world around you, all it has to do is to influence you and pull you according to its dictates, we are left with one chief enemy, that is the enemy within. How then do you overcome the enemy within? There are 7 weapons that the enemy would use to try and to destroy destiny and dreams and character that God has invested in your life. Number one, the enemy would use the weapon of shame. Shame. Whenever there is shame in your life, you'll find it difficult for you to rise up and be that which God has meant you to become. Many lives who were supposed to be where God wants them to be, who are supposed to live a victorious life, who are supposed to conquer, who are supposed to be on top of things, because shame begins to pervert in their lives, they find themselves not being able to operate to their full potential. Shame is an enemy that the enemy is a weapon the enemy would use. Shame says you are not loved, you're not worth it, you are condemned, there is guilt, you did that and you did that. That's what shame will say to you. Two, uncontrolled thinking. You do not resist bad thinking by fighting it. You resist evil and bad thinking by replacing it. You replace it by that which is good. You replace it by the word of God. If you know the principle of replacement, it's the principle of shifting your focus, refocusing on that which God wants you to refocus. That would work in both ways. The moment Peter walked on the water, as long as he was looking to Jesus, he walked on the water. But the moment he shifted the focus and saw the wind, he started sinking. In your life, uncontrolled thinking will make you to see things that are not there, because you think it first, then you feel it. You feel it and then you act it out. Think, feel, act. Think, feel, action. How then do I overcome? I overcome when I understand the power and the authority that has been designed over my life to live victoriously, by making sure I don't allow uncontrolled thinking to have space in my life as I walk with God. Enemy number three that is within you, it's fear. Fear. Fear is a policeman of the devil, once again, designed to destroy potential, designed to destroy the goodness of God over your life, designed to attack everything that God has meant for your life. Ladies and gentlemen, it is important that you and I therefore understand that don't allow fear to stop you in your tracks before you reach what God has meant for you. Enemy number four, compulsions or impulses, desires, lusts, and habits that tend to stick up their head against our lives, against our victory, against the dreams that God has for us. How are you doing in that area of compulsions? You hear people say, Pastor Josh, I couldn't control myself. I just had to do it. Ah, she was cute. I could not let it go. He was handsome. I just could not leave that handsome man going for someone else. Compulsions. Number five, you have bitterness. Bitterness rises up or raises up its head in your life. Bitterness has the trait of unforgiveness and resentment that builds up. We become resentful because we don't like what others have. We become resentful because we don't understand why they've got better things than us, the better cars than us. Why do they drive what they drive and I'm walking? Why do they have, oh, nicer clothes and they've got a good boss and I don't have that? It starts from there and it grows into where you become resentful. Number six, you have insecurity. Insecurity. These are weapons that the devil will bring over your life. A person who is insecure is a person who cannot trust what they have. A person who is insecure is a person who will not trust what God has given them, that it's good enough, they don't need anything else. Ladies and gentlemen, with these weapons, The enemy will try to crush and bring you down your confidence. You look at yourself right now as a child of God. Of all these seven that I've given you, whether it's shame, whether it's fear, whether it's uncontrolled thoughts, whether it's compulsions, whether it's insecurities, whether it's fear itself, or whether it's bitterness. If your life is out of control, the enemy will try by all means to hold you down. Hostage. Ladies and gentlemen, let me go on ahead and also say to you, not only will you find yourself under the threat of the enemy with these weapons, the good news about our lives as we walk with God is He has given to us positive weapons to counter those attacks of the enemy by which when he comes over our lives to destroy us. With shame. Romans 8 from verse 1, the Bible says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. To you suffering from shame, remind yourself you are loved by God. You are saved. You are a child of the Most High God. Number two, to you controlled by uncontrolled thoughts, remember there is a new ability and a new power inside of you in Romans chapter 8 verse 5 and 6 that makes you to think good thoughts. You can ask the Holy Spirit to lead you to think good thoughts. Number three, to you suffering from fear. The Bible says we become fearless in Romans chapter 8 from 5 to 8. We become fearless slaves because we have been adopted as being part of the family. And because we are in the family, we begin to realize what God is able to do in our lives. In fact, Paul says, we cry there unto him, Abba Father. Why do you cry Abba Father? We know the concept of understanding that when God is our Father, we can call him in trouble. The Bible says in Psalms 46, he's a very present help in times of trouble. Ladies and gentlemen, it's important that we understand, therefore, in our journey as we walk with God, not only are we learning the principle of allowing God to rule and to reign in our lives even as we serve Him, but we understand that wherever there has been resentment or bitterness, the Lord gives us. It says in chapter 8 of verse 14 and 16, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are sons of God. Those who are led by the Spirit of the living God, they are sons of God. We are children of God by virtue of understanding that we are led by the Spirit of the living God. And because you are a child of the living God who is led by Him, it's also important for you to understand you can't allow resentment or bitterness to build within your life because God has given you everything that you love upon your life. Ladies and gentlemen, as I come to a close, I want to say this to you once again, that in your life, whenever you find yourself insecure, understand the Bible says we suffer with Him. We shall glory with Him at the end. We suffer with Christ. We shall glory with Christ, the day when we stand on the grandstand in glory, we shall be able to say, our star, Jesus, but co-starring with him, it is Josh Moyo. You put your name there because the Bible says we are co-heirs with him. If we suffer with him now, we shall glory with him in the future. That means stop looking at short-term gains and concentrate on the long-term gains that God has set for you as his beloved child. May God bless you. On our weekly program, we bring you life, we bring you powerful stuff, we build in things that are meant to destroy the enemy over your life as we walk with him. If you are here right now and you are wondering, how can I then overcome as a child of God and I walk with him in this end time, I always want you to remember, your victory is guaranteed as you journey with Christ, because the enemy within, common tools, weapons the enemy use against you to destroy you: shame, insecurity, bitterness, fear, resentment, insecurity, uncontrolled thinking, finding your life out of control, not knowing what to do with your future, not knowing how you're going to end. It is very important, ladies and gentlemen, that you and I understand and we build on the authority of that which God is able to do even in our lives. No matter what you face in life, no matter what you go through, no matter what you encounter in life, always remember that Jesus has promised not to leave you and not to forsake you. If you suffer with him, you shall also reign with him as you walk with him. And I want to take this opportunity to pray together with you for those that might be struggling in their journey. You're struggling in your walk because you have these compulsions and desires that rise up against your life. And as you desire to walk with God, and for some reason you find yourself limited because you can't be that which God has asked you to be. What are some of those things that you are faced up with as a child of God that seems to be raising up their head against you as a child of the living God? What are some of those things that try by all means to destroy the potential of God in your life? Who is it that seems to be shouting louder and louder over your life that is trying to destroy that which God is able to build even within you? The opportunity is now, the opportunity for you to rise above that and allow Romans chapter 8 to build you up, build, strengthen you, and strengthen you everywhere where you go. I thank you, and I want to pray for you right now that God will bless you. If you are there right now suffering from guilt, suffering from some stuff that you have done, and now you have asked forgiveness, but these things, there's this heaviness that is not leaving, I want to pray with you. Let's pray right now. Father God, I want to thank you for dear listeners. I thank you that your God is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we can ask or think. I declare over your God's people that God, may they rise above and see that which God is able to do over their lives. Strengthen them. Keep their families. Pray for broken marriages. Pray that, God, you continue to stand with them, even in these days that we're living in, so that they will know what God is able to do. Therefore, I give you honor and I give you praise for strengthening their foot as they walk with you in Jesus' name. Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen. Once again, SKM Shimikoto Ministries Radio Network International, the voice of Apostle Josh Moyo, once again, as we're bringing you the authority and the power of the Word of God. For we all know that men cannot live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of the living God. Stay blessed, and I see you once again next week. Shimikoto Ministries
All the way from Australia, this is Apostle Josh Moyo on our SKM Shimikot Ministries radio network with our co-producer Kayla Paget. We love you and we thank God for your lives. Bye-bye.
Produced by Kayla Paget on Finding My Way radio channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.